Crossbow Magazine, your number one source for crossbow news and information, presents the Crossbow Magazine Podcast. The podcast aimed at helping you get the most from the rapidly growing sport of horizontal archery. Whether you're a beginning crossbow shooter or a veteran archer, if you like crossbows, you've come to the right place. The Crossbow Magazine Podcast is brought to you by 10 Point, Hawk Optics, Velocity Archery, Trigger Tech, HHA Sports, and Darton Archery. Now, here are your hosts, Todd Bromley and Mike Avery.
Welcome to another edition of the Crossbow Magazine Podcast, your source for all things horizontal archery and everything crossbow related. My name is Mike Avery, along with the man himself, Todd Bromley. Todd, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
Hey, wonderful, buddy. We missed you on the last podcast.
Yeah, I took a day off. doing the Eastern Sports Show for a few days and talking to some of our advertisers and making around, so I had to step out on you guys. But thanks for pulling the load.
Well, it wasn't really a day off then, was it?
Well, no, it's never a day off. Always something.
And that's what I'm very impressed with you, Todd, and everybody at Crossbow Magazine is, you guys have the momentum, you're driving forward, and you keep coming up with new projects, new ventures, new people, new sponsors. Obviously, you're on the right track.
It appears to be. We're doing really well. This is going to be a big year for us. Even with the podcast, our numbers just keep going up and up and up. So I don't know where the limit's going to be, but everything is going really well for us.
Hey, there is no limit.
Okay, I'll hold you to that.
All right. Well, listen, who is our guest coming up in this week's show?
Well, we have a pretty unique guest this week. I think anyone who has spent any time, probably more than 15 minutes in a ground blind or tree stand, has envisioned the next world record whitetail stepping out in front of them. So this week's guest is Mr. Brad German from Ohio, who currently holds the world record typical crossbow harvest.
This is going to be an interesting conversation. I will look forward to it. Brad German, the man who shot the biggest buck in the world with a crossbow, coming up after this on Crossbow Magazine Podcast.
Serious crossbow shooters know the name Darton. Darton means speed, performance, and features that set the standard across the industry. The Viper SS Extreme has a new trackless barrel design. Speed up to 360 feet per second and a compact design perfect for ground blinds or tree stands. The Fire Force features the patented Darton dual sync cams and blistering speed of 400 feet per second. For more info on Darton crossbows, check out their Facebook page or the website, dartonarchery.com.
Blaine Anthony here. You might know me better as the Bear Whisperer. I love my crossbows. But without a Hawk optic scope, no crossbow can reach its full potential. Hawk leads the industry in crossbow optics innovations, and 2014 is no different with the new redesigned XB30. Calibrating up to 450 feet per second, it's faster than any crossbow on the market. With new cosmetic and illumination controls, the XB30 redefines crossbow perfection. Check out the full line of crossbow optics as well as rifle scopes and binoculars at www.hawkoptics.com.
At Velocity Archery, we believe in preparation for all things, especially when it comes to hunting with our younger generation. We believe in the outdoor lifestyle, family, friends, warm campfire conversation, and stories. Most of all, we believe the experience in hunting and life is about the journey. Let your journey begin with Velocity Archery.
Welcome back to the Crossbow Magazine Podcast. Glad to have you along with us as we once again look at the world of crossbows, horizontal archery, and as Todd Bromley was telling us before the break, isn't it a dream we all have as crossbow hunters to take a world record animal where our guest this segment this week has done just that. His name is Brad German. Brad, welcome to the Crossbow Magazine Podcast.
Hey, it's really great to be here. Thanks, Mike.
Listen, I was looking at your website, germanbuck.com. I have so many questions for you. But why don't you tell us your story first, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, I get excited every time I do tell a story. It seems like just yesterday, but this is coming up on 10 years now. It was 2004, November 10th, that I actually took the buck. I was doing an experiment to try to win a hunt with Jackie Bushman, an urban hunting for does video. He had a contest running at the time, and I had my high-quality VHS-C camcorder in my hand and was filming some does on a small urban property close to my house here in Warren County, Ohio. And at last light, right at a new moon where it's getting dark pretty quickly, I hear something and I spin my camera over, and there is the most magnificent buck I've ever seen in my entire life, coming through a thicket about 200 yards away. I catch about 45 seconds of video of the deer, and then it's dark, and I can't see anything. I hear him running those does around, still a couple hundred yards away, and my brain certainly, probably like most hunters, my brain stopped functioning, and I ended up calling my wife from a tripod that I was hunting in, and told her I'd just seen the biggest buck in my entire life, and that I was not going to come home. My intention at the time, again, non-functioning brain, was to stay in my stand all night because it was a four-acre piece of property, mostly a thicket, brushy field, no real trees to put a stand in, and therefore the tripod. And I sat there for a couple hours until my brain started functioning again as my body froze. It dipped below freezing that night. I was not prepared for an all-nighter. So I left my crossbow in my stand. I pulled the arrow out and put it down on the platform and snuck my way out of there, made it back to the house and watched that video a couple hundred times, I guess, and it really just started preparing for the hunt the next day. I couldn't sleep a wink. I don't know who could. And I decided that if I was going to be that awake, I might as well be in the stand. So I dressed really warmly and started a crawl. I ended up crawling back in about 150 yards to where I was finally at the stand location, hung a scent bomb, a tank scent bomb up below the stand, really just to act as a cover scent more than anything else. And as I started to stand, I didn't realize it, but a briar had caught a hold of my camouflage and shook the thicket. And I hear this large deer blow just from the other side. Can't see a thing. It's pitch black. And I didn't know what to do. I freaked out. I blew back at the deer. Whoosh! And it seemed like it stopped the deer from running, and I climbed up in my stand. I started praying for all I was worth, and it wasn't a righteous prayer. It was, oh, God, why has this happened? You know, the kiss of death. It's a deer blowing at you. But about 45 minutes later, the deer snort wheezed at me real loud and real long, not kind of what I've seen on hunting videos and things like that before. And I snort wheezed back at the deer. I was using a can. I mean, it's pitch black. I wouldn't advise. This is not a textbook hunt by any stretch. But as light started to appear, I saw some shadowy figures on a trail that I had mowed through the property. I had access to a mower there and mowed a path about 20 yards away from my tripod. And I saw these does start to appear, and all of a sudden, glow in the dark, these big white antlers show up. And then as soon as I knew, which was instant, that it was the same deer, I just tried to ignore the antlers as much as I could and think about how a shot could happen and so on. It was another 15 minutes or so, though, of him chasing those does around and running underneath me, and at one time ran within a foot of the ladder that I climbed up into the tripod, stuck his nose up in that tanks, and started huffing a few times. And my wife would say that I'm emotionally constipated, so I've never had much of buck fever or anything like that. But at that point, I was a total bowl of jello. I couldn't concentrate. Got very blessed. He ducked his head into a big thicket, new appreciation for how a big deer could get into a tiny place, and disappeared right underneath me. Couldn't see the deer for another 10 minutes or so. And that helped me quite a bit to calm down and get focused again. And I didn't realize I was tunnel vision so much on that thicket looking for that buck that I didn't see a doe walk up to the closest shooting lane, and he charged out at her and gave me just a few seconds there at an 18-yard shot. I took the shot that hit him behind the ribs, took the arteries above the heart, and as he swung around the thicket, right when he was about to disappear, I saw the white underbelly kick up, and he was on the ground. I don't think I heard the last breath. It was all within 5 seconds. The deer was gone, and I don't think I touched a run on the way down the ladder. So I was over to it quickly. I called some friends of mine. I had a pickup truck, and we tooled around town a few times. But that actually is how you know, the deer hit the ground in a very kind of quick manner. Incredible. You know, and whatever, yeah, what every hunter dreams of is having his picture on the front of a magazine with a cheesy grin and a giant buck.
Well, and we want to talk to you more about that in a couple of minutes, but first of all, some stats on this, Brad. What did he score?
Yeah, so his gross score is 208 and 7/8, and he netted 201 and 1/8 typical. So that's after deductions. He was really built to score with only 6 6/8 deductions between the two sides, and then a 1-inch kicker that was a deduction as well. So he's a typical 5x5 with what makes the deer the brow tines. The one on the left side. Left side was completely a little bit stronger than the right, but it was 11 7/8, so almost a foot long brow tine on this thing. And other tines are in that foot long range as well. The main beams are 29 inches long, and he had a 24 1/8 inch inside spread, so 28 inches out.
Yeah.
So I really didn't know all that much about it. I mean, I'd watch hunting videos, and my buddies and I would have a contest of trying to guess a score before they would reveal that. But never when I watched the video or anything else did I try to score the deer. In fact, I called my pastor from the check station and said, I've just killed what I think is a booner. I mean, I was thinking I killed a 170-inch deer. I didn't realize it was a 200-plus deer. So... You know, I got the surprise as well as anything else. And then, of course, as the excitement grew about the deer, you know, all kinds of people came to me wanting to score the deer and find out more about it. And so I was fortunate that the Buckeye Big Buck Club president lived very close by and was actually at my house to green score the deer that night, just on a call from somebody else that saw it at the check station. And then Buckmasters was there the next day and scored it. So I learned a lot about how deer are scored and so on. But then Ohio Division of Wildlife panel scored it, and then it went to Boone and Crockett to be panel scored as well as their top entry for 2005. So,
wow. Todd, this is the buck of a lifetime for any of us, huh?
Oh, that's pretty amazing. I couldn't imagine seeing that deer step out in front of me when I have a tag and I'm actually hunting. That's pretty. It's also amazing that it was holed up on a 4-acre piece of property. You know, not really amazing, but that's where those big bucks disappear. And it was holding it, and it's just something that he was able to get in and get out and get back in without knocking him out of there.
Yeah, that part of that is pretty incredible itself, in that he had a pretty big swath. After the fact, I found out more about the deer and his movements and who was hunting it, trying to get opportunities at it and things like that, who had seen it. So he was traveling probably a 5-mile circle between corn and soybean fields and through these urban areas. So he had a pretty big path, but I just was at the right spot at the right time.
So, Brad, you did not know this deer was in here, but other neighbors did?
Yeah. The night before was the first time I ever saw the buck. And I wouldn't say neighbors necessarily. I just found out after... there were lots of guys that actually were aware of the deer and were trying to find places to hunt the deer and had actually hunted the deer before unsuccessfully.
What type of an area was this? From what you said earlier, it makes me think you were in the suburbs.
It is. The property actually backs up to a big housing development plat. It's a long property, though, over 900 feet deep and not very wide. So it's kind of like a long, skinny rectangle of property that is in the township. So in the city, which is right behind the property, hunting's not allowed. So I just got very fortunate in being in the right place at the right time. And I'd hunted that property for years, and that's thus the tripod, taken some other nice deer off of the property. I took a 155 back in 2001 off of that same property. So I knew there were bucks in the area and had success there before, but, you know, nothing can really prepare you for what happened. And seeing that deer.
Todd, what do you think?
Was the deer ever aged, Brad? Did you know how old the deer was when you killed it?
Yeah, yes, it was. I used the folks over at DeerAge.com and had the scientific method done. It was 6.5 years old.
Okay.
Weighed about 270 pounds.
Wow. That's a big deer.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So, Brad, listen, the stories I always hear is that when somebody shoots a world record buck, they automatically become rich and famous.
Don't I wish? Okay, so that's exactly what I heard when it happened. I thought it was a quit your day job kind of thing, right? And I would all of a sudden become a rock star in the hunting world. Nothing really could be further from the truth. Now, I am also friends with Mike Beatty. Know him and his giant non-typical. And, you know, at that time, when he took it in 2000, the world was kind of looking for that next big hunter-taken deer. And he did very well with an agreement with Primos and some of the things that he did to market the deer and himself and so on. But since that happened, apparently, everybody who killed a 140 had called the manufacturer and said, you owe me something. Because by the time that I took my deer and I was trying just to do some simple partnerships with manufacturers and things like that, they were very turned off or hard to approach in most cases. So a few things have happened for me, and I'm certainly grateful, but I always treated it like a harvest. Just like, you know, I processed my own deer, and this thing hit my table just like everything else, and my kids ate it. You know, I thought that there were other opportunities maybe from a deer like this that could come about. You know, and early on, magazines and photos and things like that helped some, but as far as manufacturers go, I really had nobody approach me in any way about the deer.
Wow.
And so I started immediately getting calls to go to places that lots of people were interested, certainly, and wanted to see it. And Bass Pro ended up calling me for one of their Fall Classic things and wanted me to be there with the deer, but they wanted me to be sponsored. And I said, well, I don't have any sponsors. And they said, well, we can get 10 Point or somebody to sponsor you. They said Budweiser, and I said, well, my pastor will be there, and if I'm sitting under a Budweiser sign, I'm in trouble. So I had tried to reach out to the manufacturer, and I'll let you guys know, it was Horton. I killed the deer with a Horton bow, and I tried to work with them on a very simple type of business deal where they would help me buy a banner that I could use, and I'd put their logo on it and things like that, and it was really difficult. By the end of that whole back and forth, they wanted to use pictures of the deer in their catalog, on their website, on banners and all their gold dealers and things like that. And I said, that's great, guys. Are you, you know, how long is this going to happen? You know, what happens to all that stuff when you're done? And are you making any commitment to equipment? And pretty much got a two-page nasty gram about how I shouldn't expect anything from manufacturers. And I was providing them with the opportunity, you know, I'm getting provided the opportunity by them.
Wow.
You know, using the deer. And I said, I'm sorry, we just see differently on the quality of the deer and my ability to sell crossbows, because I'm in business, I know what that's like, and I know what my role would be, and it was just not good. So when Bass Pro called me and I needed somebody to cover my expenses, a friend of mine said, no, maybe you should reach out to another crossbow manufacturer and see if they would be interested in partnering with you and that kind of thing. It is a world record with a crossbow. Still, as far as I know, Todd, you'll probably know before I do if somebody ends up beating this thing. And more power to them. I'm not always looking behind my back thinking it's not going to happen. There are some huge deer out there. But a friend of mine said, reach out to somebody else. It was a quick call or decision for me. I reached out to 10 Point Crossbows. And they're an Ohio company. I knew their reputation and the quality of the bows that they had. And after kind of explaining myself a little bit, they were willing to put me on as a staff shooter for them. And so that relationship has continued. I work basically for credits and equipment, repping for them and selling what I think are the best crossbows on the market today.
But you've still got your day job.
I do. I still have my day job. It keeps me busy. The thing has continued to grow as far as my ability to now have an audience, speaking to people about crossbow hunting and advocacy and getting kids hunting, and has opened up ministry opportunities for me as well.
Todd, this is a great story that Brad brings to us. I am so glad that you have booked him for the show this week.
It is a great story, and I know Brad, and Brad's a stand-up guy, but one of the other things that always happens when you harvest an exceptional buck, like we know, some of the naysayers come out of the woodwork. And Brad, did you have your reputation tarnished or anything like that after you killed this deer?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and I don't really understand. I mean, people would say jealousy or something like that, but I think that there maybe is something a little more malicious involved, because I've had people tell me all sorts of things. If you put them all together, I was standing on a neighbor's deck wearing a Hawaiian shirt and Birkenstock sandals when I shot it with a 30-30 at night with a spotlight. It is unbelievable, the stuff that people said or believed and things like that. I got some really good advice early on and was able to contact Division of Wildlife and had them do what they call an observation. They were able to see the deer when it was still hanging in my garage and could see that it was clearly an archery kill. The arrow actually didn't go all the way through the deer. It stuck up in the brisket front part of it. That old Horton shot like, I don't know, I can't even tell you, 210 feet per second or something like that. So I was shooting peas at it, but it was pretty good that they saw it. They were able to see the gut pile and see the video that I had of it and everything else that came together to help squelch a few of those rumors. But even as recently as 2 years ago, somebody I ran into at a retail store, I was talking to them about the deer, and they said, "Boy, I wish I had a 5,000-acre ranch in order to raise deer like that." I said, "Well, so do I." It didn't happen. So, it is kind of amazing that people would come out with all kinds of stories about it. My character is important to me, and I wanted to do everything the right way and certainly did the best of my ability. And yet, maybe people that don't do it the right way and enough of those bad stories come out that it's tough to tie the ethics and the hunter together sometimes.
We're talking with Brad German on this edition of the Crossbow Magazine podcast. He shot the world record whitetail with a crossbow in Ohio in 2004. If you want to see this buck, you can go to his website, germanbuck.com, German with a J, germanbuck.com. Brad, I find it very interesting, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about this. What did you call the observation that the conservation officers did? What was that process?
Basically, it was the wildlife agent for the county came to my house. And it really, I think it probably had to do also with, Gary Trent, who was the president of Buckeye Big Buck at the time, and I think may still be, could vouch for the fact that this was really what could be a potential state record whitetail. And so it is. I mean, not only world record with a crossbow, but it's a state record in Ohio, typical whitetail. And so they were at least willing to come out to make sure everything was done correctly and to put on record the observation. So the observation is basically, the condition of the deer, where it was, where my stand location was, where the gut pile was when I field dressed the deer, which was still there. Because there have been these things where guys have killed deer out of state, brought them in to claim that they've killed it in a state. I know mm-hmm. something recently happened there with Kentucky and Ohio. So it just all helped to validate the truth.
So the officer came to your house to see the hanging deer. You took him out to the field to show him where you shot the deer and the gut pile, and you showed him the video that you had shot the night before. Boy, you had this thing documented every which way you could.
I think so. And certainly just revealed everything that I could about it. I didn't realize at that time. I'm a guy who loves to hunt. I'm don't have a TV show anywhere. I have a lot of experience in the woods, but I don't have a lot of experience with dealing with publicity or people or anything like that in this kind of environment. And so it was. I had no idea what would happened to me from the time I put the deer down. And so that's just one of those things that really kind of helped, I think, you know, to have the Division of Wildlife on my side or to be able to validate the stories that I was telling.
Certainly a smart move, hey, Todd?
Yeah, very smart. I don't think a lot of people would have that done, and I know people in other states who have harvested really big deer, state records, and actually had their deer confiscated just on rumors until it was cleared up, and I couldn't imagine going through the highs and lows of that, of having your reputation trashed, plus your deer confiscated until it's investigated. That would just be an emotional nightmare.
Right.
Brad, you said, you touched on it lightly, that, and I want to get this out there for our listeners. You do have a ministry now, and you travel with the deer a little bit. Can you tell us about that and maybe some of your upcoming dates?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. So my website does have an itinerary on there, and you'll see that I speak about you know, a dozen times a year in a ministry type of capability. Mostly the wild game dinners and the sportsman's banquets and the things that are very popular right now, where I go and I take the deer and I take photos that were given to me to sign and personalize those for people. So I go and I talk about deer hunting. I have some seminars that I would give on how to gain access to land and things like that, and then tell the story of the big buck and share my testimony and some of the you know, a simple gospel message. And it's had a very good response nationally. Of course, I do a lot of stuff here around Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, been Illinois and Indiana here recently, but also have gone and traveled to Texas and New York and some other things. I have a reproduction that I'm able to crate up, and we ship it with Greyhound, and so it's there when I fly out to a location. I've got a few coming up here locally. Salina Baptist is having a wild game dinner, and they have two sessions of about 450 guys each. So it's an all-day event. They have a morning session with lunch, and they have an evening session with dinner, and it's a pretty big and incredible event for guys to come and see. And then God's Great Outdoors. I've been working with Jerry Calouette for some time now. I'm his keynote speaker this year out in West Milton, Ohio. Got lots of other things going on, and if people want to find out more about that, go to my website. They can contact me through the website. Email is just brad@germanbuck.com, and I do my best to go through that. I get a lot of emails, so it's kind of tough sometimes. Hopefully they got my attention, but I'm always willing to go and travel with it. And just to throw this out there, too, I'm not... You know, some keynote speakers and people in the outdoors industry have a set fee and charge a lot of money, and I've taken the route of not doing that. I need my expenses covered for travel, and then an honorarium or stipend is always appreciated, but it's not why I'm doing this. I am really a result of an outdoorsman's banquet. I was introduced to my church through a sportsman's whitetail extravaganza, I remember it. Being called, and that's where I got to know that there were men who liked the same things that I liked, were passionate about hunting, but also had something I didn't have, and introduced me to the Lord. And now I'm a deacon at that church and run several ministries there, including the men's ministry. So when my wife was begging me to go to church somewhere, I said, I'll try out there where those hunters go. You know.
I'm looking at the website, germanbuck.com, and one of your lines is, and this is you speaking, "I am truly humbled that God has chosen to use this hunter and a big deer to spread his message of grace, mercy, and salvation." Now, that about wraps it up right there. But I find it interesting you say you don't travel with the original head. You take the replicas.
Yeah, when the Division of Wildlife wanted to do a big celebration on the 60-day, because that's the Boone and Crockett drying waiting period. And so a friend of mine from church actually did my initial taxidermy, and we had the original antlers mounted on a cape that we had bought, and I played linebacker in front of this deer. whenever I was at an event or something like that, I had real antlers for quite some time, and I wanted to be able to leave the deer and not be nervous about it and things like that, because at expos and things, I think you guys know, kids will rub it the wrong way and hang from the antlers if they could. So we ended up getting some reproductions made, classic antlers by Klaus, is who's doing my reproductions. And so I had some reproductions made and put those on the deer. And now that's what sits in the corner of my living room. I still own the originals. And, you know, that wasn't what that was all about for me, but it makes me a lot more relaxed, certainly.
What a great story. Todd, anything more for Brad?
No, just I know it's been 10 years, Brad, but congratulations. I think it's a great buck. I think you're a great ambassador for crossbow hunting and for holding that world record. And thanks for being on the show. And continued success, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Todd.
Thank you, Brad. Been a pleasure talking to you.
Germanbuck.com.
Germanbuck.com. All right, we'll take a break here on the Crossbow Magazine podcast and wrap it all up after this.
When you change the game, you make the rules. Introducing the all-new Vapor from 10 Point, the most technologically advanced crossbow ever created. 10 Point, there is no substitute. When you change the game, you make the rules. Introducing the all-new Stealth SS from 10 Point, the most compact crossbow we've ever created. 10 Point, there is no substitute.
Trigger Tech makes the only frictionless triggers for crossbows. With no creep, their triggers improve accuracy with 2.5 or 1.5 pounds of release. Zero maintenance and superior safety over factory triggers.
Hi, this is Brad Whiting from Crossbow Magazine. I recently assessed Trigger Tech's new triggers and found them to be right on par with some of the finest two-stage rifle triggers I've ever used.
For more information, go to TriggerTech.com or call 647-781-1723. Trigger Tech, precise trigger control.
HHA Sports, creator of archery's number one single pin bow sight, the Optimizer Lite Ultra, offers the same technology for crossbows with the Optimizer Speed Dial. The Speed Dial is guaranteed accurate at any speed, any range, and any magnification. It eliminates guessing and gapping by shooting a single-haired scope for a cleaner sight picture and dialing in to the yard. With an Optimizer Speed Dial on your crossbow, pinpoint accuracy is just a dial away. For more information, visit HHASports.com.
Welcome back to the Crossbow Magazine podcast. Todd Bromley, I really enjoyed that conversation with Brad German.
I think it's nice to have a perspective from someone who's actually been through it, because it's something we all fantasize about. But to actually talk to someone that's been through it, I find it pretty interesting, and I hope our listeners do too.
I'm sure they will, yes. Anybody who says, oh, I've never dreamed of shooting a world record buck, I think is kidding themselves. But it's very interesting to hear the story behind the story. It's not all wine and roses.
It is, and I'm going to put myself out on a limb here. Brad's a great guy, like I said, an ambassador for the sport of crossbow hunting, but I'm going to predict by 2015, by the end of the hunting season, we may have a new world record.
Really?
There's so many people crossbow hunting now, and there's so many bucks out there, I think it will fall within the next two hunting seasons.
Well, wouldn't it be cool if it was Todd Bromley or Mike Avery?
I won't even dream about that.
Imagine what that would do for the Crossbow Magazine franchise.
Well, let's hope it's me and not you, buddy.
You know what? If you shot a world record buck, I would be just as happy as could be. What a thing that would be.
You're a big man. Thank you.
All right, Todd. Listen, I appreciate you setting us up with Brad German. I would encourage people to go to your website, crossbowmagazine.com, right?
Correct.
All right, that'll wrap up this edition of the Crossbow Magazine podcast. His name is Todd Bromley. Again, you can reach him at the website crossbowmagazine.com. My name is Mike Avery. You can find me online at MikeAveryOutdoors.com. Again, thanks to Brad German, his website, GermanBuck.com. And again, that'll wrap up this edition of the Crossbow Magazine podcast. We will talk to you again next time.